Well, good morning and welcome to another News in Focus program. Pastor Sean Harris, Fayetteville, North Carolina, home of the 82nd Airborne Division, Fort Bragg, Special Operations Command, and Forces Command, and oh boy, a bunch of military that do an amazing job for us. I've got an article from the FDA stands firm on gay blood donor ban. The FDA stands firm on gay blood donor ban. It's from World Magazine. Mark Russell is our author, and I did not do a bunch of research before I read this article. I'm just sharing with you what the article says, and then I'll offer a bit of commentary. Despite pressure from gay rights groups to lift the ban on gay and bisexual men donating blood, the FDA, that's the Food and Drug Administration, has stood firm, citing the agency's charge to safeguard American health. The FDA said it would consider lifting the ban only if supported by scientific data showing that a change in policy would not present a significant and preventable risk to blood recipients. Today's U.S. blood supply is remarkably safe, but that wasn't always the case. Thousands contracted AIDS in the 1980s from the blood tainted with HIV. A death sentence at the time. As a result, the FDA began its lifetime ban on gay and bisexual blood donations. Any male who has had sex with another male since 1977 is excluded. I wonder why that is. I wonder why they're being so discriminatory. I wonder why they don't understand that this behavior is just normative and should not result in any kind of a separation. Is it because the behavior is not safe? The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report gay men are more severely affected by HIV than any other group, accounting for 63% of HIV infections and 78% of newly infected men in 2010. Did you hear that number? The number was, let me underline it in my article, 78%. 7.8 out of 10. Now, just imagine that. 78% of newly infected group is coming from gay and bisexual behavior, and yet these folks want anything that separates them from everyone else to be eliminated at all costs. And it really doesn't matter the potential for harm to the greater population. We don't care. That's their perspective. They don't care. They want every rule changed, anything that would give any hint that there's a problem with this behavior, they want it eliminated. Gay activists demonstrated at blood donation sites this summer to draw attention to the ban. Gay men were urged to show up and try to donate, knowing they would be turned away. The mainstream media provided extensive coverage and often gave the impression that the ban was outmoded, unscientific, and causing a shortage of blood. Well, 2% of the population is not going to make a difference with regard to donating blood. This really has nothing to do with increasing the blood supply and everything to do with eliminating a perception that there's a problem with this behavior. In July, NBC reported our blood supply is dangerously low and suggested lifting the ban to solve the problem. Red Cross Susan Stramer disagrees. She says instead we have a surplus of blood. The question is about what is equitable. Gay groups claim the ban is discriminatory and fosters the stereotype that gay and bisexual men are a danger to the nation's health. Well, if 78% of the current people infected with HIV are coming from the gay and bisexual movement, then the answer is there is a problem. And it is a national problem. It is a national problem. And I will tell you why it's a national problem. Because of the Affordable Care Act and the inclusion of everyone, Here's a scenario, and it's not a ridiculous scenario. Young men will typically not sign up for insurance. That's just the reality. They will not. They don't believe themselves as in need of insurance. They don't go to the doctor very often. They're not going to get pregnant. There's just not a real need for young men to be insured, medically insured, in their own perception. So they're not going to sign up. And typically, they do not sign up. They have insurance if their employee provides that insurance, but if their employee does not provide that insurance, they typically do not have insurance. And now, because of the Affordable Care Act, pre-existing conditions cannot be a new discriminatory factor in signing up for health insurance. So I, as a potentially gay male, who can now get health insurance if I get HIV, will just wait until I get HIV, and then upon getting HIV, I now know that I'm going to need extensive medical care. So then I'll sign up, and I'll bring to the collective pool of recipients of insurance a gigantic bill for which I have not been paying in. Let me give you another illustration, because obviously maybe I'm not explaining this one well. It would be like the idea of finding out that you're going to die because of cancer and then signing up for life insurance. They're not going to insure you. Okay? They're not going to insure you. You cannot wait until the week before you find out you're going to die and then sign up for a $1 million policy and make $1,000 payment and then collect on a $1 million policy. It doesn't work that way. And there is no government regulation that forces life insurance companies to provide you with life insurance with pre-existing conditions. But there is now, in the Affordable Care Act, the requirement that insurance companies cannot discriminate against pre-existing conditions. And so I can wait until the last minute where I haven't been paying in premiums and have not been contributing financially to the healthcare industry through insurance premiums, and then I wait until the discovery of HIV, and then I sign up, and I bring a deficit to the system, a financial deficit to which I've not been contributing. So that's why it's a national health concern, and that's why their behavior should concern you, because you're paying for the health care necessary because of the unsafe behavior that contributes to a greater probability of getting HIV. Unfortunately, someone infected with HIV doesn't immediately test positive for the virus, creating a window during which the infected blood could be banked. Blood would also need to be stored, awaiting test results. And some experts fear infected blood could inadvertently be released for use. Even if the FDA modified the ban, the blood supply would only increase slightly, according to the agency. The entire pool of banned donors only represents 2% of the U.S. population. Not 10%. 2%. According to the agency, not a Christian organization, not a left or right leading organization. This is according to the FDA. The FDA, that's the Federal and Drug Administration, they believe that the entire pool of banned donors only represents 2% of the U.S. population. Brian Moulton, legal director for Human Rights Campaign, said that he is frustrated that the ban persists. It's very personal for a lot of people who would like to donate. But it's also very personal to all the hemophiliacs who saw their numbers decimated by the infected blood supply before the ban. So is there a Christian perspective to all this? Yeah. Let me give those gay people who claim that they're Christians a perspective. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And since your behavior and your blood could cause your neighbor to be infected with HIV, love your neighbor more than yourself and continue to respect the ban. even if you can't fix your behavior, respect the fact that the ban exists to protect us from your behavior. Us being those who do not engage in gay sex. Well, those are my thoughts. Maybe you have others. pastor@bbc.gmail.com. As long as Christians continue to remain silent and the immoral minority continues to be vocal, the moral majority will be silenced. In the end, it will be silenced. And don't be surprised when the ban is lifted. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at all when the ban is lifted. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.